swim and a slide and a big umbrella. Pause. I'm so scared to go near the thing. Think about that. There's a lot of pressure. I loved teaching school. I had a sixth grade class that was really a very good class, I thought. They were brilliant. Well, I didn't think that at the time. But it was a time when there was a lot of chess being played, and I would play chess with some of the kids whenever they wanted to, when we had time. And there was a little girl that just wanted to play chess so much. She just kept pressuring me. And so one day I brought her a little small book, but it was a book on chess. I said, "Would you take this and read it and then beat me?" She did. She did. And did you know that was a pretty big school, and word got around that she beat me in about 5 minutes. It was totally embarrassing to me, and it was terrible. Well, you take a look at the game of chess, it's a game of pressure. You look at it, and the first thing you think, well, it's just about like checkers. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it is a very difficult game to learn. It's a very difficult game to be good at, and it is a game of pressure. And you just keep building things up whenever you learn how to play the game, and it just brings so much pressure. I remember one young man came, played, and I read a chapter on a book on a way to go one way, and I got him tricked into it. In a little while, he was saying, "There's not anything that I can do. I have no place to move." Pressure. Well, we're looking at Elijah today. If you look at 1 Kings 19, verses 9 through 15, the voice of God came to a cave where Elijah was. The voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Wouldn't you hate to have God say that to you? "What are you doing here?" He replied, "Man, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've broken down your altars, and they've put your prophets to death with the sword. And I am only the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go back the way you came. I have a job for you." Wouldn't you know that God would want you to go back and start all over again? Let's do it right this time. Well, Elijah was a very... very special man. He was a powerful prophet. Do you remember how he was taken out of the world? Boy, you need to go read that. It's in 2 Kings. A chariot of fire came and took him out. He was such a special guy. But just because you're a special guy doesn't mean that you always are everything that you would want to be. Elijah forgot that God wants to work victoriously through every one of us. God doesn't call us to be losers. He calls us to be faithful and to do what He wants done in our world. And you know, He has a place for every one of us. And the thing is, whenever you're doing what you ought to do, sooner or later you're going to feel the pressure. part of the trouble is you get way up high and then all of a sudden you come tumbling down. Here it is, Elijah, who had seen what God could do through him, and he was still running. He was God's prophet. Did you know that he ran? He took off running in spite of the fact that he knew God personally. He knew God personally. And God had called him to be a prophet. He probably didn't call many of us to do that, but he's called every one of us to do something. And he has a task for each and every one of us. And I tell you, this man, he discovered that even being a prophet, that you can run all you want to, but you can't hide. There's no hiding places from God. And that's hard for us sometimes to remember, that he ran even though he was called to be God's prophet. He ran, and Jonah found out, you know, you can run, but you can't hide, and God will even get you with a fish. Every now and then you get had. And the second thing that you need to remember is that he ran even though God had worked through him in the past. Here's what you can go through. You can look up there and take a look at it. He ran. You know, he announced to Ahab, there's going to be a drought. And it's going to last till I say it doesn't last. It's going to be around for a while. Remember, he brought that down, and then it was not long before he's down under a tree and God's feeding him bird food. The birds are bringing him bird food to eat. And you remember there was a young man that died, and he took that baby upstairs, or that child, and the dead man came alive. He was able to bring that baby down, and it was alive. That was a miracle from God, and that was something that you just couldn't understand. And then he got to announce when the drought was over. And suddenly there was what I called a gully washer. That water was everywhere when it hadn't been for a long time. And Ahab didn't know what to do with it. And so he also looked Ahab in the eyes. Now, I called him Ahab the Arab. Looked him in the eyes. Said, here's what we're going to do. You bring them on down. We're going to take two calves. We're going to offer them both. But you bring your prophets. When he wound up with it, there were 850 prophets. And it's kind of fun. He said, go ahead, fix it. Oh, whoa, don't start a fire. Just fix it. And then ask your God to start the fire. And can you just imagine 850 of these guys running around, cutting themselves, crying, bellowing, calling on God, this, that. And it got so bad that Elijah was standing off on the side making fun of them. Go ahead, call it down. What's the matter? You God too busy to take care of you? Can you not find him? Where is he? Get it done. And they couldn't get it done. And that thing sat there all day long. Nothing happened. But you remember what he did? Fix it. 12 stones in the altar. He really worked it over, and he got that animal ready to go to sacrifice. And then he said, bring water. And he kept saying, go get more, get more, get more. until everything was soaked all the way through. And then he called on God. And out of nowhere, there came a flash of fire and everything was lapped up completely. Oh, that was even better than whenever he told Ahab that the drought was over and they didn't see any clouds. And then they looked down there finally and they saw a little bitty cloud. Boy, it wasn't long till the water was coming. Then the fire fell. And then the 850 prophets of the fake gods, they were all killed. The score was, guess what? Prophets 0, Elijah 850. Pretty good score, isn't it? So why in the world did he run? He ran as hard as he could run because he lost faith. It had crumbled. Do you ever find yourself in wilderness? I want you to think about that for a minute. I have a niece, and you've been praying for her. She has just been able to get into a clinical trial, a medicine that is not even approved from here, but I'm grateful that they're allowing that to happen. But her liver is just almost all gone. And the outcome is very bleak. Sometimes we look at ourselves and we're in the wilderness. And I have a testimony from a Rebecca that I'm going to have played right now so that you'll be able to hear her testimony along with some others about what you do in the wilderness. That's a happy little ditty.
Never thought the freedom would have left them wandering in a desert barren and dry. Even though God gave them quelling bread from heaven, cloud by day and fire by night. God said, I've heard your cries, remember who I am. Trust in my provision till you reach the promised land. You might have to wait, you might have to pray. Be with you in the wilderness.
Speaks to me. We get in the wilderness a lot. It is amazing. We've come through this pandemic. I am amazed at the resilience of folk. We are able to survive, and a lot of people didn't. But I think God put us here for a reason. And I think this church is here for a reason. And we need to look up and recognize that God has something for us. Well, the third thing that you need to remember about this, he ran even though God had promised him complete victory. You know, that's the scary part. He ran even though complete victory was there. Just couldn't see it. We can't see that far in front of us, but God can. And when God calls us, that's what we need to remember. Even though the odds were against him, God was for him. It's easy for us sometimes to forget, and it's sometimes real easy for the faith that we have to turn in on ourselves. We've got to remember that God didn't put us here just to look pretty. He put us here to do his will. He paid a dear price so that we could serve him and to walk with him and to fellowship with him and to know that God is alive and real in our lives. Remember how Peter was? When Jesus said, when he set his face to go to Jerusalem and said, I'm going there, they knew what that meant. And Jesus said, well, you know, before it's all over, you're all going to deny me. Remember how brave Peter was? No. You may have some slackers over there, but I won't fail you. What it was like when Jesus was arrested. And Peter, I don't know how they knew. Some of them may have seen him or maybe just, I don't know. But you're one of those. No, I'm not. Yeah, you're one of those. No, I'm not. And then again, around the fireplace. I know you're one of those. No, I am not. But do you remember by the seaside when Jesus gave him three opportunities to say, I love you, and gave him a responsibility for each one? I don't know if you understand how Peter must have felt, but he felt clean and forgiven for the failure that he had. And, you know, we're human. And, boy, humans do have troubles, don't we? We cause most of them. We just love to lap them up. We just take them on. Give us more. Peter never forgot. Peter ran, but I'll tell you what he did do. He did stand the test of time. He was a main spokesman for the disciples. Now, I realize there's some would like to think that he was the first pope. You won't find that in Scripture anywhere. But what you will find is that Peter was there all the way around, and all of them, maybe but one, gave their lives because of Christ. But they changed the world. And you know, sometimes we don't understand just how important it is to realize God said you're going to have complete victory. Ahab was a terrible guy. But guess what? His wife was worse. And she sent a threat. She said, "You're going to pay for this. Just wait until tomorrow if you're not dead by then. You're going to die." Jezebel scared the, I like to tell the kids, scared the bejeebers out of him. And that's the reason he ran through the wilderness. Wound up in a cave. And God had to say, "Come on out. Come on out. It'll be okay. Come on out. Come on out. I want to show you something." And boy, do you remember how the winds and the water and the earthquake and all that took place. And that God said, "Now, go back. And on your way, here's some responsibilities. And I'll be with you the whole time. You're going to be all right, complete victory." And you know what he did? He came back. He came back, and there was complete victory. You remember how Ahab died? Sort of like Custer, I guess. There's Indians out there shooting at me. He got killed. And do you remember what happened to Jezebel? Two of her best buddies threw out the window, right down into the rocks. And God's prediction was clear. It was over. And you can read the rest of the story of this man. But you'll find that he came back. He came back. And he did what he was supposed to be doing. He got his courage back. God will do that for you. And I think he came back better than when he left. Got a movie here that I'm sure many of you have. Is there anybody not seen Facing the Giants? You've not seen it? This is from 2006. That's when you were really young. It's a great Christian movie. Now, it's just the picture that says it's a great movie that every family ought to see. And the motto is never give up, never back down, and never lose faith. And it says the power of belief, the strength to win. Tell you what, you ought to see if you can pull it up. If not, if you'll see me, I've got a copy of it. I'll let you borrow it. Let you see it, because that was one that really started it all. And it's wonderful. But I would also remind you what Jesus said right at the conclusion there. "Upon this rock I will build my church." Now, we don't know what that rock was exactly. There's a lot of speculation about that. But upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot keep us out, cannot prevail against us. That to me says that he is saying to the church, you can be victorious. And I think for the future of this church, I hope you're just thinking about that, thinking about it. What is it that God wants for this church? I tell you, there are a lot of things coming up. We're going to understand some things. And Number one, this is a Baptist church. We want to understand what it is to be a Baptist. Guess what? I've got some speakers coming in May. I know one of them is just beautiful. She's my granddaughter. She's worked with the Baptist Student Ministry at BGCT for a good many years. She does a lot of their work, or has been. Now, I think now that she's married and expecting a baby, I figure she's handed that off to somebody else. And folk that she worked with, some of them have retired. And when we went up there into the building, I've been on the student work committee, and I've been all around that student work up there. But when I got in there, you know how we were introduced? We're Kaylee's grandparents. She stood out there, and I have Micah from TWUBSN. They're both going to come on the same day and talk to us about how we do work with them. And Micah wants to come because the meal that we helped provide was the best they've ever had. I'm just robbing her of that opportunity, but she'll share it when she comes. My desire is this, that we'll realize this church has a future. And this community needs this church. We need to let people know what's going on. And you know, I think we're going to build a sign out here. I'm trying to put in a sign so that we can change it in here and have all the info on there, and you don't have to knock on their doors to get it there, because knocking on doors isn't a good thing right now. Think about what we're doing. Think about where we're going. This church is going to make a name for itself and a name for God. We want to change the community where we live. But you notice our whole message is that we want to help change the world. But you change the world by starting here. And so that's what we're about. I'm going to offer you an invitation. If you need to join this church, I hope that you will come. I'll let you know that last week we had a young man who came in. He actually was a pizza delivery guy. He came in, and our head security guy back there led him to the Lord. He got saved. He's going to join our church next week, and he's going to get baptized, and guess who's going to get to do it? That's exciting, isn't it? Well, these things can happen. And things can happen in this church if we'll just let it. I hope you'll be a part of that. And if you want to join this church, I invite you to come. If you want to come and pray, come and pray. If you have other needs or other desires, join. Let's do it. Let's rededicate our lives. Let's stand together and come as we sing.